B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Today on Talkin' Rock, it's two for the price of one. Two guys from one band talking about Spread Eagle. First up, it's Ray West. He talks about his other band, Weapons of Anew, his many stints in rehab.
Maybe some red wine with
dinner. Yeah, right.
I know people that do NA and all that, like, you can't have anything, but I'm okay.
Yeah. We talked about getting Spread Eagle back together and some of the challenges along the way.
That's part of the challenge, too, making it bang off the walls again, you know.
How did the 90s and the explosion of grunge and the Seattle sound affect a band like Spread Eagle?
Because we were actually writing a third record, too. And that would have been a lot more heavier and a lot more... It would have been in that vein. It would have had some grunge to it.
Up next, it's bassist Rob DeLuca. He joins us for part two. Of course, he's the bass player in Sebastian Bach's band and UFO as well. We talk about the early days of Spread Eagle. Some consider them to be the East Coast version of Guns N' Roses.
I think a lot of people thought of us that way. Yeah, we came out a little later than that first wave. We were like in the second wave. And
we talk about the new album and what they plan to accomplish by putting out new music and hitting the road.
But the plan is to tour and to reestablish ourselves as a live band, as a live touring band.
Ray West and Rob DeLuca from Spread Eagle today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
A big thank you, as always, for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Appreciate it a lot that you guys listen to this. And today is something a little bit different for you guys. We got two guys from the same band, two different interviews. I talked to Rob a couple days ago on the phone. And just yesterday, as I record this, I talked to Ray West in person. For the first time I've seen Ray in, I don't know, 25, 26 years, something like that. Just a little background history and inside baseball, I guess. As I mentioned in the interview, Spread Eagle was the second band I ever interviewed in my career back in, I don't know, early 1990s, 91, whatever it was. And I don't know, I just became a fan. The first record I loved so much, Open to the Public, their sophomore effort, killer stuff as well. But anyways, just became a fan. Then, of course, Spread Eagle went away. And, you know, as time goes on, you move on, different things happen. I moved to Detroit in 1995 to come to, work on the radio here at WRIF. Somewhere along the line, kind of reconnected with Ray. I've kind of been in touch with Ray for about the last, I don't know, 10 years or something. I'm not exactly sure if it was Facebook or social media or what have you. And then I reconnected with Rob DeLuca when he was on tour with Sebastian Bach. I met up with him a couple years ago, and we've become friends again. And so it's kind of cool to touch base with some of these guys. Well, then what they do is they put out this, they got this record coming out on August 9th called Subway to the Stars. And I thought this would be a perfect time to get the guys from Spread Eagle on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. So I met up with Ray, like I said, in downtown Detroit. We chowed down on some chicken wings at one of the best places in the Motor City called the Sweetwater Tavern. Man, the chicken wings are so good there. And we discussed all things Spread Eagle. So Ray West is up first today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Ray, welcome to the shelter.
Oh, my pleasure to be here with you, my brother.
That's what this is called. You see, there it is there.
This is awesome.
Yeah. We're actually sitting on the stage of the shelter, which was kind of depicted in that Eminem movie, 8 Mile. So.
That's right. Maybe I'll drop some beats for you and we're done. Be dropping that beat for you.
Yeah, we have a lot of beats to talk about. So Weapons of Anew is the band that you're in now. We're going to get into Spread Eagle here coming up in just a few minutes. But we have to talk about Weapons of Anew. You guys are out on tour with Scott Stapp. It's been going pretty well for you guys, huh?
Yeah, it's been great. The crowds have been great. He's very cool as well. I met him a few times just walking and passing, you know, and he's cool, man. It's cool.
Yeah.
And the crew's been very nice to us, and it's just been a great experience.
And then Messer is open up as well. Is that right?
Those are nice guys, too.
Yeah. I haven't seen those guys yet.
They like to party.
Yeah, do they?
No. They're good guys.
That's cool. No, but before we get too much into this, I should tell people that I haven't seen you in, like, I don't know, it's been like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
Like that,
man.
At least, right? So I've been here for 23, so it's probably been more than that.
Yeah.
So since the early days of Spread. But
since Fire was invented.
Probably. Yeah, Fire, right.
It feels like that.
The wheel and everything. So tell me about Weapons of Anew. How long has this been together?
I think 2016. Myself, Freddie Ordean, Chris Manfrey, and Reno. Our bass player's name is Reno. Just one name, like
Cher. Or
something.
Yeah, right.
Cher. really strong band. We just obviously had the record out 2 years ago, and we toured with Alter Bridge and went out with Nonpoint. We did the Tessa tour too, it's a really just great group of guys, really strong music, and I'm really proud of it.
Yeah. And what do you guys got coming up in the future as far as that is concerned? Because I know you got the Spread record dropping and all this other stuff.
All right. Well, after this tour, we're going to do the new write and do the new record with Mike Ferretti. You know Mike Ferretti? He produces, I think, Seven Dust.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's great. Great set of ears and great soul. Great guy, man.
Yeah.
So we're gonna write, record, and tour, and just do the cycle all over again until we die.
It's gonna be cyclical. Yeah, there you go. So how do you separate both the bands? It's always intriguing to me when I talk to guys like, you know, with Corey Taylor or whatnot.
Right.
It's like how do you figure out what's good for Spread and what's good for Weapons?
Scheduling has obviously is a main play in it, because Rob's schedule gets pretty intense. The Weapons guys are really good about, you know, Spread being sort of like having to have some time for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about time management. You know, Rob's really cool about getting things done. He respects my time with Weapons, and Weapons in turn respects my time with Rob, you know.
And it's not like Rob doesn't have anything going on.
Yeah, he's a busy cat with Sebastian Bach and UFO.
Yeah.
So he's busy as well, man, but we're getting the hang of it. We're making it work.
Yeah. And we just had lunch. I should tell everybody. Normally when I do interviews, I try not to talk to the person beforehand because I might, you know, ruin all the great questions.
Yeah.
But I was trying to hold off a few of them here in my head. But we just had a lunch and stuff. And, you know, I was thinking the whole time, it's like you were talking about how you kind of got out of the music business a little bit. But your voice is so killer and so unique and stuff. And I'm really glad that you're kind of like, you know, back in the game as it be.
Right on, man.
So
you just made a friend for life. You know that, right? Now we're really going to go to the afterlife with this.
So why are you taking your shoes off for now?
I want to get comfortable.
Oh, okay. Getting comfortable.
I'm going to start rapping in a minute.
All right. Yeah, that's right. Get up here on the stage.
We're going to slow down, bro.
But was there ever a thought in your mind that, you know, I'll never... Well, first of all, let's go back. So Spread Eagle disbands, and what do you kind of do then?
Oh, wow. Well, when we disbanded, I swore I would never even do this again.
Yeah.
You know, this business bites you in the ass, and you never want to do it again. But I started getting into, like, just, you know, I became, like, I guess a renaissance guy. I went to restaurant school, and I tried rehab, like, about 7 times.
I was going
to
ask you about rehabs, yeah.
Boredom and my own stupidity and bad choices just put me in a bad place.
Yeah, I've heard boredom can lead to problems.
Yeah, to numbing yourself and being stupid.
Yeah.
And I thought I was good at it, but I wasn't.
Right.
So, you know, 7 rehabs, I'm not good
7,
at it.
Really?
I counted 7. 7.5. Yeah, no. I
so are you sober now or off, yeah, everything?
Maybe some red wine with dinner.
Yeah, right.
I know people that do NA and all that. Like, you can't have anything, but I'm okay. I'm
fine. And how do you feel?
I feel great. I feel powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because when you go on stage, when I'm singing, I can feel everything, and it feels like I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
And I see where the edge is, and I can go over, but I can pull myself back a little bit.
You're talking about, what do you mean the edge? For like, when you're singing or
performing?
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think about, like... I'm aware, but I don't. I'm always freestyling.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There's really no. I feel a sense of freedom to the whole thing. Before, I was kind of like, you know, when you're drinking and drugging, you kind of, there's a cloud over you. And you feel like a big weight. So now it feels really pure, and I really enjoy it. It's very freeing.
What was the first key that you had to go to rehab or you had to get clean or whatever?
Man, I think it was when I was talking to someone and they looked at me. I think I asked for $20, and they're like, "Right, man, you're." You know, you're a drug addict. I'm not going to give you $20. And that was a really rock bottom day for me. I was like,
"You're Ray West from Spread Eagle,
like,
man. You should be asking."
No, I am, man. I'm getting real heavy. But I was like, "This isn't right." And I think the day that I saw my mom's eyes, you know, she was just like, she just looked sad. Mm-hmm. And it really just got me. So I did my best to get sober.
And now that your mom's gone, she obviously saw you sober and stuff. You can't go back.
No, she said she was proud of me, which is great.
That's cool.
You know, that's a great moment I cherish forever.
Yeah.
You know? And now that she's gone, I mean, I cherish her every day, but that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, so that's quite an accomplishment, especially in the life and what you guys do.
Yeah, man. And my mom was a person that never ever like came to shows when I was a kid. You know, she never did that. So for her to kick back and see it from afar was awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Now,
congratulations. Yeah, because I talk to so many guys. Some of my best friends in this business are sober, and the fact that they do that, like, astonishes me. Because, you know, you're looking to kill 22 hours a day for the most part, right?
Right.
I mean, when you're out on tour.
Yeah, and what do you do with that? Some people just would rather just get numb and go into their own little world in a bubble. But now I get to enjoy things, look around, sightsee, and all that kind of stuff. I like being on the road. I like being able to go and have great lunches with you and just hang out and talk. I conversate now, I think, much more than I used to. I enjoy it a lot more now.
Do you feel more creative?
Yes. Well, there's times when people say, you know, you smoke weed and that opens up a whole new thing too.
Yeah.
But I think I have so much residual drug use that I'm going to feel creative for a long time.
Well, some of the best stuff was written apparently on drugs, right?
Yeah. I feel great. I'm happy to be here and be able to do it.
That's cool. So you're out in tour, and we were talking about this at lunch and stuff, that, you know, that half hour is your chance not only to go up on stage and then skydive for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, man.
And get your, you know, get your adrenaline rush, but also to win over that crowd and, you know, the whole thing. So tell us about that, going on stage.
There's an art to it. I think there's an art to walking into a room and facing, you know, a couple thousand people and making them just turn on to you.
Mm.
You know, and because of the way we groove, I think, and the way I approach it live, I think you can tell when they're kind of reeling in a little bit. You know what I mean? Second song, they're starting to move their bodies more. And then I get to talk to them after the third song. And that's when I get to connect a little bit and draw them in a little more. And I try not to be cliche, you know, that's not loud enough. I don't do that shit.
I can't hear you, right? Yeah,
I just want to be real and just talk to people, and that seems to work. So, so far, so good. Mm. You know, but there's nothing like that. When you can win the room over, that's the game right there.
Yeah, I've never had, a chance to do that. So it's something that you're talking about, a world that I never lived in.
Yeah, but I'm sure someone tunes in for the first time.
Well, perhaps, yeah.
Right?
For
they're
sure,
like, who is this guy? His voice sounds great.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean?
He sounds tall.
And he sounds intelligent. He sounds tall.
Well,
me too.
If I could fool him, yeah, right.
Me too. We're 8 feet tall right now.
Right,
we're
exactly, yeah. So Rob and you guys get spread back together back in 2009, you were saying, and I talked to Rob about this as well. So tell me about putting the band back together, and how much did you miss the Spread Eagle thing?
I think once you lock back into the songs and you're in the room playing them, you're like, wow, this was a lot of fun to create and do, you know?
So this was like about a 15-year gap, would you say?
Yeah.
About 15, okay.
Yeah, something like that. I think we did 4 or 5 shows in the beginning. I think we'd done a tour with Chris Caffrey and John Macaluso, and that was kind of crazy. And the band, Rob were like, this sounds really good. Like, this music played well, could really get a chance, you know? And that's part of the challenge, too, making it bang off the walls again, you know. We just felt really good about it. And because even though Rob was really busy, he was smart enough to go, like, I want to try this too, you know. And
what if you got back together and it just didn't seem to have it?
That would suck, man. I think we're both kind of in the place where we'd be like, you know, we're just not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we're both realist like that.
Mm.
But, and I know how Rob is has very strong opinions about music. And I do as well. So we really have to like it and believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
We know how other people feel about it. You know, people can either hate it or love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's two ways to listen to this music. I know when people hear my voice, they're like, well, it's either I like them or I don't. That's the world we live in. But we felt really strong about it.
Yeah, well, like I was telling you about your voice earlier, I heard some of the songs from the record that drops on August 9th. We can't forget about that. Subway to the Stars.
Yeah.
And I heard some of the songs, and a couple times just kind of flashed back to that old Ray West from the early 1990s, you know?
Right.
And it's like, you know, with the whole Spread thing. So you guys started working on this record when, 2017 or so, or 2018?
Started demoing and all that. I don't know when the demos first came in, but I know from the first demo it felt really strong.
Yeah.
You know, Rob's writing, Rick is writing, you know, Rick DeLuca, our drummer, and Ziv Shalev is writing, so they're all really gifted musicians, man, so I'm lucky to even sing on anything they bring me, you know, and the process of writing, I think, was really quick and easy. Those guys played, while I wasn't there, they'd be writing and playing all the time, so they would constantly send me stuff and get my feedback, and there was nothing I didn't like, which is cool.
Now, do you write the lyrics for the songs, or do you do any of that stuff?
It used to be a really big deal to me. I had to write the lyrics and the melodies, but now I've learned to be, you know, Rob is a great lyricist and melody guy, and Ziv and Rick are as well. So now we write by committee, you know, so I'm not, it's also Rob writing lyrics, and even Ziv and Ricky do their thing. So,
well, I asked Rob about the song, the 29th of February.
Yeah.
What's that song all about? Because he didn't really have an answer for me.
I think we wrote it so fast. If I was to break it down for you right now, I think it's a story that we read in the newspaper, and we sort of just played on it. Well, I'm drawing a blank right now. That's terrible. It's about the 29th of February.
Okay, there you go. Perfect. Which only comes up every 4 years.
It's not about the 28th or the 27th. It's fucking 29th. Oh, my God.
What are some of the lyricists and some of the singers that you look up to?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. As far as rock, man, I grew up on, like, the Eagles. I love Bob Dylan.
Mm.
You know, I love Bono from U2. He's, like, he's not even human. He's ridiculous. Freddie Mercury.
Now, when we were sitting over there having lunch today, I was thinking to myself, I don't know why this popped into my head, but I saw the last Soundgarden show.
Oh, yeah,
street.
Man.
Yeah, and it's like I thought that, you know, you'd probably have an appreciation for Chris Cornell.
Oh, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
There's so many, you know, but he was special.
Mm.
You know, I got to see him a few times, especially back in the Concrete days when they all took over the whole Foundations thing. It was like the switch of, like, hard rock to grunge or whatever the hell it was, you know, but he was just an amazing. The tones he has, you know, the different colors to his voice. Dark lyrically sometimes, you know, but this, anytime he comes, and I love his solo stuff. So I really, yeah, great appreciation for him, man.
So you just mentioned, like, back in the day and stuff. So you guys were actually coming up while all the grunge and stuff was hitting. I mean, what kind of effect did that have on you guys was as musicians, as writers, as anything? Do you remember?
I think we were able to appreciate it. You know, because we were considered heavy even for our taste. You know, I remember going to L.A. to, like, this metal band's coming. We're a metal band, great. You know, I respected the hell out of it. I heard Alice in Chains, and once I heard that record, I knew that was it. You know, as far as any glamorous joking around about things, that things were getting serious. People got tired of hearing bullshit and the same riffs and you know, the whole party rock thing. So I knew it was for real. So it definitely had a huge effect.
Well, you guys were, I'm not going to say kind of stuck in the middle because I, you know, I don't know. You guys really weren't grunge, but I didn't really get the vibe. I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, hot sex. Okay, I get it.
But, well, you had to have that.
Right, exactly.
Because at the time, that's what I was, you know, that's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody said, why'd you write that? I'm like, well, they said write about what you know. So that's what I was doing a lot of, you know what I mean? And it's okay to have fun. It's okay to have a sense of humor. And that's how I approached it, you know. But the people that want us to be very serious and heavy are like, dude, you can't do that. I'm like, I can do anything I fucking want to.
And I always loved in the song Spread Eagle where I couldn't hear a word, but I sure could read her lips. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, but...
That's a sort of a stripper bar anthem, isn't
it? You'll have to tell me about that one.
That song was written by committee, too. But Spread was always searching, you know, for a writing identity and a sound. That's why the second record was so eclectic. You know, we're trying to still find our voicing. And not that we're running away from the first record, but you always want to sort of, you know, you think you're doing a better job. Mm-hmm. You think you can always do better. And sometimes it doesn't always work out that way.
And now you got the third record coming out 25 years or so after the second one.
We're finally evolving. Maybe 30 years from now,
yeah,
we'll evolve
back
some more.
At it. Yeah.
I think it's really dialed in. I think this has a great sound, this record. I think every song threads together really well. I think we sound like one cohesive band.
Mm.
And it's produced well. I think it's written well, but I'm biased, right? I think it's mastered well. I think it's mixed well. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, I've seen
right?
it.
Right? You've heard it.
I've
so
heard it, yeah.
I'm proud of it. The whole thing is, I know because of where we were at the time, I approach it as we're a brand new band and no one's ever heard of us. You know, so the people that like the first record and want to hear that are not going to be very, you know, they have to give a band a chance to grow up. We've all evolved. I sing from a whole different place now than I used to.
I think, yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And my mindset's changed. I don't have to scream every 5 seconds, you know. Now I'm trying to mean what I say and just get into the melodies and enjoy what I do, man.
What'd you call that scream when we were at lunch? What'd you say it was?
The fry vocal.
The fry.
And all the bands now doing, like, oh, you know, the Cookie Monster vocal, the fry vocal. Everybody's doing it. And I respect all those bands, but so many sound the same.
Mm.
You know, when I use a scream nowadays, it's just like as an exclamation point, like I mean what I say, you know, but it's a sound I dig. I work with it.
No, I was asking Rob about this as well. Like, what is like the goal of this new record? Like, you're just trying to reinvent the band, trying to get it back out there,
Get it back out there. And,
yeah.
You know, to put a third page into this thing, you know, like this is where we didn't just leave it on the table. Like, here we are again. I feel like we're actually closing a chapter with it. You know, we got a chance to really evolve with it and give the people who like it something really to grasp onto, man. I hope people dig it, and I hope it takes us a lot of places. I would love for everybody to love it as much as we do. Hmm. But, you know, you're going to get what you can.
Now, you're talking about playing some festivals at lunch and stuff. I mean, how good did it feel to get back on stage a few years ago and play some of those festivals?
It felt incredible, man.
Yeah.
I remember looking at Rob, and he was like, yeah. Look at where we are. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. I just appreciate being able to play because I didn't get to do it for so long. You know, it's not something I take for granted at all. Number one, it's a privilege to play rock and roll, and a bigger one to play in front of people that appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
How much of it? I don't want to slag any of the current band members, but how much of it do you wish Tommy and Paul were still around?
Of course, you wish they could enjoy it too. You know, because you started with them,
right?
You know, but I guess they're both in the places they want to be. They were both asked about things years ago to contribute whatever. I believe. You know, we reached out, and Rob's good about that stuff too. So, you know, Rob's a very, very nice guy. You know,
I like Rob.
Yeah. And I'm grateful to be in touch with those guys again. Mm-hmm. But Ricky and Zeev just make the band shine. They just make this a great machine.
And who found Zeev? Was that you or Rob?
I think it was Rick.
Rick, okay.
I think Rick might have brought it. Rick has this great network of people, and then Zeev has his network, and that's how we found the guy to mix the record and all that. But I think we're just powerful as hell right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love to watch Zeev play, and the look on his face that he gets to play to, you know, because his normal playing is very like orchestral. He's involved in something different, you know. So he loves to rock. He's like, I'm going to rock, man. He's that guy, you know. Let's go get it, man. Rock and roll is the way. And Ricky's just a great, happy dude too. They're both very positive cats.
Yeah, it's probably good to be in that circle when you're on a tour.
And the musicality that they bring to the table is ridiculous, you know, for that band. So Spread, I think, is supercharged right now and good.
And so we were talking about this as well at lunch and that, but Frontiers taking you guys on and stuff. Talk a little bit about that.
They took us on when nobody else would. I love them.
Is that right? So did you try shopping this around?
I don't know how it came to be. We were in London when I got the news. So Rob was the one that has lots of connections nowadays, so he's able to take music around and all that. And next thing I know, we got a call from Frontiers. So that's all. As far as shopping, I don't know about who else looked at it. We were grateful to them, period, man. You know, because when no one is really helping you out, you take what you can get. And it seems like a really great network to work for. You know, they seem like they know what they're doing. They got a lot of bands that they're working. I know the new Whitesnake just came out, so they're working the heck out of that, too. Last in Line, they seem to be doing a good job with.
Yeah, maybe they can have a Frontiers music festival.
Yeah, man. I'd like to play that. Somebody should call us to do that fucking thing.
So you got Weapons here. How long is this tour going to go?
We're going to tour from now till August. Actually, I'm going to jump off this and then have some Spread work for August because the record comes out August 9th.
Right.
So I think we have some shows booked around that. So I got to manage the time within there.
Yeah, then no word as far as a Spread tour yet?
Not really, no.
No.
I mean, I know we're trying to get some dates. Rob's going out with Sebastian again. I think it's in most of September. So somewhere at the end of the year, we'll work the hell out of this record.
And then you got the video out there for the Sound of Speed, right?
Yeah.
Speed of Sound.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which way it goes.
Yeah, but before I forget.
Both ways.
Yeah, before I forget, Weapons is going to tour till August, and then we're going to start writing as well.
Okay.
So I got that, you know.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff.
A lot of work. It's going to be a good year.
Yeah. So you make this video at the, it looks like a racetrack or something, right?
Yeah, man. We like go-karts.
Yeah. Do you like go-karts?
And the whole thing is, when you see a lot of videos that Frontiers bands have, they're all very serious, you know, and they're very dark or whatever. And we're like, let's just have fun. You know, I think we're all pretty goofy bunch of guys, man. And we like go-karts and just be silly. And our friend Phil Alaco, let me just backtrack. To make this video, we needed help to make it look the way it does. Mm-hmm. And we had a buddy, Phil Alaco, who's a great director. He works with Spielberg, all these different names. And it just did us a solid. He's like, I'll do this video for you guys. And that's a friend. So we had a whole camera crew out there, went to the Poconos and shot this thing. And Rob's idea was, let's go do go-karts. So I'm like, yes, that's awesome. How do we make that happen? You know, so Phil made it happen. And next thing you know, we got to run on these things like, you know, 5 hours. We were just sick of them, man.
So has anyone contacted NASCAR about using this in some sort of video format?
I hope so, man.
Yeah, that'd be cool. They could see it right now, cars crashing and stuff, and that song playing.
That'd be awesome, man.
What about the what about the Grand Scam? So tell me about that song. That's out now as well.
Zeev came to the table with the music for that one. He was very excited about that riff, and we were all like, we didn't want to let him down. It kind of has like a sort of like Scratch the Cat vibe to it,
right?
As far as that old school kind of feel, you know, Grand Scam is just living free, man, doing what you want to do and not let anybody tell you what to do.
I wasn't sure if you got the inkling to write that song from anyone or anything that had happened.
It's all from life experience.
Yeah.
Everything I'm involved with is from life experience. I don't, you know, pretend to be a poet or anything, so I write what I know. But I just loved the look on everyone's face when we were in the studio tracking it, and the first verse hit, and we're like, that's going to work. You just know something feels good, you know? Mm-hmm. And, to see Zeev happy about it, to have his song be on the record was a big deal. So I was really excited for him.
Yeah. Yes, because Rob was telling me he does like all sorts of different things on the outside, but now he's like in a band, so he's got to feel good for him as well.
Let's rock, man. Yeah. Let's go, man.
That's what he says, huh?
He's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking earlier today, too, about, you know, when you guys got signed and stuff through MCA. I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but in that small room and stuff, man, and now it's 2019 and Spread's coming out with a brand new record, so.
Yeah, man. We, you know, that first day was, they came to our rehearsal room. I didn't hear a lot of bands, you know, that would happen to a lot of bands like that. So for us, it wasn't a surprise. We kind of were like, you know, we were really cocky. It's like, come see us. You know, we can come see you, but come on this way. And it worked out. We were just cocky enough and ballsy enough to have people come in and get in their faces. And I think when Bruce Dickinson showed up, we just scared the shit out of him.
The Bruce Dickinson.
No, not that one. That'd be cool if it was that one. So, but I think Bruce Dickinson we know is more cowbell.
Right,
Bruce
exactly. Dickinson. That's more so cowbell funny. Fellas. You knew that guy, huh?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Next thing you know, we got signed. Well, the signing was, you know, lawyers and the big walking into the big dark room at the big table. You know, and the curtains go down and the devil comes into the room, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the manager said, Scott said, man, you guys just signed a deal. You guys should be happy. I'm like, I don't know. It feels weird.
Yeah, it's probably going to be. You've kind of worked up to that moment in your life, and here it is, and it's got to be a strange feeling.
But we got, you know, we did a quick demo. From the demo, we got signed. The next thing we knew, we were in the record plant. You know, and we had to write some songs in the studio, like Dead of Winter was written in the studio. I think we finished Broken City in the studio. But and then after we were done recording, I think we got the mixing was on the road or something like that. Well, we were done recording and then we were on the road. We got on the bus came to pick us up in Manhattan, you know, in front of the band house. And we took a 3-day ride as a brand new band, never been on the road before. We got to get on the bus and go across country. And that
I think
bus
you remember
looked
telling
like
me that.
Shit
yeah.
when it got there, man. And it smelled horrible. And all the road stops and cool things we got to do. There's a whole network of like things that only bus drivers know. And you get to see some secret places that
really
should never be seen before. I'm not supposed to talk about it or someone's going to kill me.
So here in 2019, what kind of place are you at in your life right now?
Positive.
Yeah.
Creative. I feel great. I think I feel the best I've ever felt in my life since I was a kid, you know? I think I sing. I'm in control. I like the art of singing a lot more. I didn't take it seriously before because I thought I knew everything. I thought I was such a, you know, I got signed fast. Didn't have to really work or study it. And now I appreciate blues music and funk and all the great singers, all that stuff. And I love soul music. So I'm in a great place.
Now, do you think that maybe some of your alcohol and drug problems came about after the band was finished because of that?
I think the extreme stuff, yeah. Because, you know, you get hurt by the business so much, some people just can't come back from it. I chose what I thought was a chance to take a break, a sabbatical, you know, turned into years of like just digging deeper into a dark hole. And I've tried to write my way out of it. When I did my solo record I told you about.
Yeah, All Points West.
West. A lot of that is really, you know, it's a journal and it tells my story. But I, you know, it just happens, man. You hear about it. You don't expect it to ever happen to you. The next thing you know, you have no money. You're in a, you know, you're in an apartment, barely eating, and you got no friends. You know, it's crazy, man. You got to work. You have to want to fight back from that. So I appreciate, you know, I battled back and I'm proud of myself for doing that.
What was the first step you took to get out of that hole?
Reach out to my family.
Yeah.
You know, and definitely I went to, you know, like the rehab thing, but that's all bullshit. You got to want to do it. You know, it's all inner strength.
So rehab is good as long as you're willing to.
Yeah, you have to be willing to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, once people start pushing spirituality in the Bible, it gets a little crazy in there. You know, I didn't want people to, you know, I didn't want to read the Bible. You know, don't force that stuff on me. You got to be accepting of all that. And once I just learned to step out of myself and look outside, you know, I read it. You know, I read the Blue Book. I listened to people. I didn't listen to people before. I thought I knew everything. And I had to grow up the hard way that way. You know, I'm not happy until I get hit by the bus. You know, time is going to be bad. I don't believe you. I got to get hit by the bus. Don't cross that street, Ray.
What was that bus?
A big old bus.
Yeah.
The bus was life, man. You know, you either want to live, you either want to get up off the mat or you don't. I choose to fight.
Yeah.
All the negative stuff, all the people that There's a lot of people out there that don't want you to succeed because they're just not happy in life. They want you to be unhappy. So I choose not to be like that.
Is there some bands and artists and stuff that you met back in the day that you're still friends with?
Wow.
We were talking about this at lunch, you know, and you're like, I don't know anybody.
Yeah, I really don't. What's funny is I'm meeting people. They're like, remember when we met back in so-and-so? I'm like, nope. Okay. So let's talk about it. What did I do? Was I okay? Was I an asshole? Back in the day, I knew Mike Starr from Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
And Lane. They were cool. They're both gone, though. So everybody I know really is dead.
Yeah.
But all the new people I'm meeting now that are still around, you know.
Did you have a chance to tell those guys from Alice in Chains how much that first record moved you?
Oh, yeah, big
time.
Was
it the first one, Facelift, I'm assuming?
Yeah, because I walked into their house, and Mike played me. It was a rhythm track of We Die Young. And then he played me the Man in the Box.
Okay.
And I think it was Sunshine. I heard there's those three. Then I heard We Die Young with vocals, too. And I was just like, you know, I couldn't smoke enough weed that night.
Huh.
You know, I was like, man, how do I deal with this? And when that record came out, when I went back to the bus after seeing, you know, hearing the tunes, I told the guys, these guys, Alice in Chains, are for real. You know, and they're like, oh, okay, whatever, man. You know, we'll do what we're doing. We were partying that night. We were in L.A., and an A&R girl, Jennifer J., played her new favorite band. We were in the car, and it was Alice in Chains. Mm. I'm like, these are the guys I told you about. And so they were all very accepting at that point.
Yeah, I can remember playing We Die Young, you know, when it first came out and stuff, and Soundgarden outshined and, you know, all this. Oh. Even Smells Like Teen Spirit, and people hated that song. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, the rest is history, but... Yeah.
It's just such an honest wave of music. I mean, the business needed a good kick in the ass. It got real.
Did you think that, like we were talking about this earlier, but did you think that you guys were kind of on the outside looking in then after this wave came through?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think we had, because we were actually writing a third record too, and that would have been a lot more heavier and a lot more, it would have been in that vein. We would have had some grunge to it, you know, some vibe. But I'm sure it would have still been us because Paulie played the way he played, you know,
right.
You can't hide that. And, life just does what it does, man.
So how far did you get into a third record?
I think we wrote about 4 or 5 tunes. We were really cranking along, and then we just stopped. Everything just stopped.
Mm.
I think me and Paul, I said, let's go meet at a bar. You know, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, and
you said that to him?
I said that to him.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, okay. You know, there was no, like, argument.
Really?
No fight about it. No, you can't do that. Let's do this. I just remember, like, us talking, going, we can't do this anymore, man.
What was why not?
I felt the people that were working around us were making really bad decisions.
Oh, okay.
And the best way for me to put an end to that was just to leave. You know, and I didn't want to, like, regroup later or any of that, so I just chose to leave.
Hmm.
I think they might have tried to, you know, keep going on a little while, because I'm sure Charlie would have done that, but they didn't stay, you know. It all disbanded.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm super glad that you came back and we've reconnected. Like I said, this is the first time I think I've been here since 1995. I don't think I've seen you in person since back in the New York.
All grown
days.
Up, but not.
Yeah. Yeah. So they say. But
still a kid, man.
But what else is going on? Anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to add?
I'm happy to be doing this, and everybody who's been really cool to me and supportive, I want to come see you. Come see the band. The Weapons Avenue is an awesome band.
Yeah.
I love this band. We make great music. And we're going to keep writing Weapons of a New as well. And I love these guys. So come to the shows, man.
Well, Ray, super great to see you here in person, man. Ray fucking West. I can't even
fucking
believe
A-Ray.
There you go. Thanks, brother.
Later, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, Rob, first of all, thanks for taking the call, man. Good to hear your voice again. How's things?
Things are great, Meltdown. Really, really good to talk to you. I appreciate it.
You have a lot of stuff going on here in 2019 between all your bands and Spread Eagle and stuff. And, of course, we'll try to touch on as much of it as we can. But first of all, let's talk about the band. Now, this is probably the dumbest question you're going to hear, but Rick DeLuca, I'm assuming he's related to you somehow.
Yeah, he's my cousin.
Okay, so he's playing drums for the band now. Is that right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And then,
we finally got in touch with our original drummer, Tommy Gallo, after being estranged for about 15 years or more, maybe. And now I'm in contact with him, and he's doing well. He's living in Massachusetts, and good to hear that he's okay, because we weren't sure there for a little while.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Tommy and also about Paul. Now, you guys, last time I talked to you, I think you hadn't talked to Paul in a long time either, right? The original guitar player.
No, I talk to Paul. I don't think that's true. I talk to Paul every year or a couple years. We email a lot more than that. So I've been in touch with Paul. I see him occasionally, but he moved to India, and he changed his name to Salvador Poe.
Right.
Moved to India. I know this sounds like I'm totally making this up, but I'm not. He became a yogi, you know, like a spiritual teacher. And but when he comes back to New York, occasionally, you know, I see him. And like I said, I email him all the time. But it was Tommy you're thinking of that. I hadn't talked to him in 15, 20 years. And I had no idea what was, you know, if he was alive or whatever. And he's doing well. So
that's cool. Yeah. People may or may not know this. I have talked about this in the past, but you guys were the second band I ever interviewed back in 1990, I think. It was I was brand new in the radio, and all four of you hungry, starving musicians come into the studio here, and it was really cool to talk to you guys. That was in Western New York in Buffalo. Now here we are in 2019.
That's great. Yeah, we talked about that when I saw you in the Detroit area last time I passed through. That was cool.
Yeah.
And who was your first interview?
My first interview was a band called Nevada Beach. Did you remember them?
No, I don't.
They had a record out, and their single was called Waiting on an Angel, or Waiting for an Angel, or something like that. But anyways, Nevada Beach, they called them that because there were so many bands in California. They thought that, you know, California is going to fall off the face of the planet, and it was going to be a Nevada Beach. That's how they got their name.
Right. Well, maybe with that plug, maybe that'll inspire them to get back together.
I doubt that. But you guys, of course, are from the
We're hoping.
Right.
We're waiting on a Nevada Beach reunion. So never.
Yeah, that's so funny. So you guys, of course, were from the other side of the country. And I just want to touch base on this a little bit here for people that may not be that familiar with Spread Eagle. So, I don't know, talk a little bit about the beginnings of Spread Eagle. Were you guys kind of like, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, this is just my mind doing stupid things. Were you guys kind of like the East Coast answer to like maybe like a Guns N' Roses back in the late 80s?
I think a lot of people thought of us that way. Yeah, we came out a little later than that first wave. We were like in the second wave, and but like we came out a year before Slave to the Grind, you know, and you know, we were a heavy band like that style. And so, I guess you could say we were an East Coast answer to that, even though, you know, we had our own thing going on. But of course, GNR were very influential to everyone, and anyone who says they weren't is probably lying, you know. That's a good general description of us.
And so the first record comes out, and of course you guys make a little bit of a splash with Switchblade Serenade and stuff, and like I've talked to you about my love for that record so much. It's dirty and grimy and gritty and everything you would expect from a band like you guys, you know, that were just trying to make it out of New York City. And then Open to the Public comes out a couple years later, and then you decide to kind of call it a day, at least for, I don't know, probably up to like something like 20 years, right? Is that what it was, or?
Well, we got back together in 2006, so it was about 12 years,
right.
11, 12 years. We took a break for about 11 or 12 years.
Well, you know, for me to say 1994 was 25 years ago, I still can't even fathom. So my math, of course, is completely off. But yeah, so you guys kind of get back together, and then do you guys kind of, you know, just do some touring, just kind of, and pretty much it's just you and Ray that were the original members that got back together, right?
Yes, yes. Tommy was missing, and Paul was teaching spiritually.
Right. And so you guys put the band back together. You get a couple other players. Now, tell me about this guitar player you have, because I don't really know much about him.
His name is Zeev Shalev, and he is definitely one of the most badass rock guitar players in New York City. And as soon as we got him, it just felt like Spread Eagle again. And that's, you know, it's cool to have a good guitar player and to have a good band, but with Zeev, it feels like Spread Eagle felt, which was very important to me, because I thought we had something that was very unique. And And so we have that again. And Z's been around for 7 years already, so.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about how you kind of got back, you know, you felt like it was back to the beginning. And it really is. I listened to the record today a couple times, and there are definitely tinges of a very early Spread Eagle on there.
I think, yeah, I was trying to remember that punkiness that we lost on the second record. Not that the second record isn't good, but it's definitely, you know, we were changing and the world was changing around us, and I think it was causing us to change. But I definitely like that punky edge, and I wanted to get back to that, and I want to stay on course with that from here on out.
Now, Subway to the Stars comes out on August 9th, and let's see here. I got, let's see, how many tracks do we got on this record here? We got 11 tracks on it, and Ray was telling me, you know, he loves the acoustic ones, and there's a couple really heavy ones on there. Of course, it's got a little Subway flair here and there, as people will be able to hear when they pick it up on August 9th, and it's got some rock and stuff. You guys have already released The Sound of Speed and also a Grand Scam just this week. So tell me more about the record from your point of view.
Well, I'm just really proud of it, you know. I don't know where it ranks among the other records, but I think our fans are really going to like it. And I know I love it, and I'm just very proud of it. There's a song called More Wolf Than Lamb mm-hmm. that is a really, really standout track. There's a song called Dead Air, which is incredibly interesting. It's very heavy, but it has cellos in it. Keyboards.
That's the first thing that caught my attention when I heard it, is that I was going to ask you about that. So you guys actually went out and got some players, huh?
Yeah. Zeev does a lot of sessions in New York City, our guitar player. So, I mean, he does like three tracks a day, every day. So he's really in demand as a session guy. So he knows, he plays with people from all different styles, and he knows a lot of musicians. So he brought the cellist in named Yoed Neer, and he did a great job. So there's that song, Dead Air, which is really interesting. And there's the ballad that Ray mentioned, Solitaire, mm-hmm. which is a song that we wrote with Paul DiBartolo back in the day.
Really?
Our original guitar player. Yeah. And that's a stock song, but I think we had like four ballads on the second album, you know, which, or three or four. And, you know, so we didn't need another ballad, even though it's a great song and it could have easily been on the Open to the Public album. We just had too many songs. So we put it on this one and it came out great, better than the original version, in my opinion.
And when did you guys start to like put ideas together and start to form what would become this record?
Not that long ago. I mean, toured UK and Europe in 2017 at the end of the winter of 2017. So we got home and Frontiers contacted me and I started writing then. And we were, you know, we were recording by the summer of 2018.
And so, of course, you know, with your schedule, which is totally chaotic, and Ray's doing his own thing and whatnot, it's like, I mean, it's got to be difficult to put this all together.
It really is. And I, you know, I was there for every step of it. So, but, you know, like what else, what better is there to do? You know, I haven't changed since I met you. I love music. And if someone says, you know, we're going to give you an opportunity to write songs and produce an album and release an album and tour it, you know, like, even if it's difficult to do, because it is very difficult, especially, you know, when you add in all the other life stuff like touring and relationships and all that. But it's so worth it. It's so rewarding. And that's why I'm so proud of the way it turned out. And the band is just killer, man. This, you know, what a band. It's really, really great. So very happy.
And talk a little bit about Frontiers, because here's a record label that's kind of taken on some bands that, you know, and may have gone away or are regrouping, or, you know, different bands from the 80s and stuff. Talk about working with those guys.
Well, it's really cool, because when we were on MCA Universal in 1990s, there was a lot of bands. They didn't really know what to do with rock music, with heavy rock music. And we kind of got in when they started to experiment, when MCA started to experiment with signing heavier bands. And they were kind of making mistakes and learning along the way. And we were kind of, you know, a victim of that. So the good thing about Frontiers is they're just about hard rock and you know, 80s rock and, you know, just anything that rocks, you know? Mm-hmm. So they really know what they're doing. And they've, I guess it started maybe just like people thought it was like a boutique thing because they were signing a lot of 80s metal bands, but they're doing really well. Like Whitesnake, they just released Whitesnake and they charted all over the world. And it was like some of their highest charting positions ever, you know? So Frontiers has really turned into has really become a real label and they're pushing their bands hard and it's, you know, we're excited about it. We want to see what happens on August 9th, you know?
Yeah, so you put this record out here in 2019 and stuff. And, I mean, what is, like, the end goal for what you guys are doing as far as this record is concerned?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Like, I don't know, like, whenever you put a record out, you got to have some sort of, like, goals. Like, some sort of something in mind as to what the fans will take away from it, where the band is moving, like, that kind of stuff. Is this going to follow up with a tour? Is this going to, you know, is this a whole big, you know, obviously it's a rebirth of the band and whatnot, but is this going to, you know, follow up with a tour? Are you going to concentrate more on Spread Eagle now and maybe not as much on the other projects or what's happening?
Well, I hate to say like never, you know, like I'm going to stop doing this or stop doing that. Cause you kind of like just react to life, you know, and the other bands are doing well, you know, UFO and Sebastian Bach but the plan is to tour and to reestablish ourselves as a live band, as a live touring band, and be consistent with that and get out there and keep that going forever. We have Dan DeVita, TKO booking, artists booking us now. He's great and he handles big bands. And, so we're setting ourselves up for that. And we hope to make a second record for Frontiers, when this one is done. So yeah, that's the goal. I think reestablishing ourselves as a live act.
Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to a Peanut from 311 the other day, and their record's coming out on July 12th, and he's already telling me about stuff they're going to do on their next album. like, dude, the record hasn't even come out yet. He went like in depth as to what they're going to do on their next record. And I'm like, dude.
Wow.
So it's just kind of funny how that works like that. But no, it's cool, man. The record's killer. There's another song I wanted to ask you about. Actually, I thought maybe I'd ask more of Ray about this one, but I'm going to ask you first. The 29th of February, what's that song all about?
See, I don't really know what they're about. Even on songs where I write the lyrics to, I'm not sure. I just kind of go with stream of conscious, and I know they all have meaning to me, but I'm not sure what they are. And I also don't like to dictate what people should think. But I 29th of February for your listeners, it's all references to increments of time, like 29th of February is leap year, and there's references to dog years and things like that. But I think, without telling anyone what to think, I think it's something about everything is temporary, so enjoy it. You know, it's definitely that's in there somewhere, along with other meanings.
Now, how excited were you to get back in and record music with your band, Spread Eagle?
Well, it was amazing. Producing Ray. Ray West is absolutely one of the best singers, and how he didn't achieve the levels of, you know, the greats who came out in the late 80s, early 90s is, I don't know how that didn't happen. But he's just a master singer, and he's a master stylist. A lot of people can sing, but they don't have a real strong style. Ray's style is just dripping with style, and so it was great producing him because he's so good in the studio and we have fun, and he told me it was the most fun record he's ever made, you know, which was a nice compliment that he was enjoying himself that much that we made him an environment where he could be that creative and enjoy himself. So yeah, it's and Ziv Selev and is the most amazing guitar player, and he comes up with so much stuff. And Rick DeLuca, my cousin, is like a partner in crime, because him and I, we got together like 15 or 20 times, just the two of us, to start the writing process. So he really helped a lot by coming in from Long Island to Manhattan to rehearse with me, just the two of us, and suss out a lot of ideas, and I would play and sing, and it was fun, you know. So it's fantastic to be recording with these guys. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, not even just with those guys, but just like with your band. You know what I'm saying? Spread Eagle, that's like your band. You know that you started back in the way back in the day.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with Sebastian before. It's like you have a band that is your I forget the word I used when I was talking to him about it, but your legacy. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. You know, and Spread Eagle was who I came up with, you know, and that's how I learned to be in a band. You know, like I learned the right things to do, and I made mistakes and learned the wrong things to do. And then I carried that with me as I got in bigger bands. You know, those lessons helped me to succeed in these other bands, or at least stay and, you know, not get kicked out. At least not get kicked out of these other bands, you know. So I agree. You know, Spread Eagle was the band for me, and it's really important.
So you're talking about Sebastian Bach, of course. You're still working with him when he's on tour.
Yeah, we go to Europe next weekend. We're doing a festival in Italy and a festival in Barcelona, Spain.
Now, have you started the whole thing with the with him debut album in its entirety?
Is with Sebastian?
Yeah.
I think that's in the fall.
The fall, okay.
That starts in the fall, yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah. And then of course, you got UFO as well. And, I mean, condolences for the passing of Paul Raymond.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was something that just came out of the blue, didn't it?
It really was, because Paul, I mean, he was like 73 or 74, but he looked so much younger than that, and he acted so much younger than that, and that's even young to pass, you know.
Yeah.
But we were on tour, and we finished up in London, two shows in London, and he was very animated, you know, very excited, and he was performing, and like he just doesn't just stand there, you know, he's really into it. And you know, we would have never thought something like that would happen, and then 8 days later he had a heart attack and just passed.
Yeah.
He didn't suffer, you know, he went quickly, which is, I guess, you know, good, if you have to go, you know. But no, it was very shocking, and we weren't sure what was going to happen with this past tour. I just got home yesterday, but we got Neil Carter in, who was the keyboard player in the 80s that UFO had. And Neil's a really good musician, and the tour went well. So,
yeah, if you have to send Christmas cards out to everybody that played in UFO, you'd be writing for a couple of days, I think.
Yeah, that'd be quite an investment. Yeah. In stamps.
Hey, what is your what's your favorite songs to play from each band, from UFO and Sebastian Bach?
Let's see, from Sebastian, I think it would be the ballad. Let me think. It's not Wasted Time. Darkened Room.
Okay.
We don't play it all the time. We've gone through periods where we play it for like a year, and then we don't. On the last tour, we didn't play it. But I think that's my favorite song to play from that, him, and also The Threat. So both those songs were off Slave to the Grind album. With UFO, I would say it's Love to Love, which is a classic.
Yeah.
And with Spread Eagle, I would say it's Scratch Like a Cat.
Scratch Like a Cat. That's great. Yeah, that's yeah. Awesome, man. I haven't heard that song in forever. But hey, you know, it's funny with Sebastian Bach. Like, you know, he spent a lot of time here growing up in Detroit, you know, before getting in Skid Row and whatnot. And I really like Sebastian. I've interviewed him a bunch of times. You know, people always have their opinion and stuff. But tell people what it's like to be touring and living daily with Sebastian.
Well, I've been playing with him for 14 years. And before that, I recorded with him when he was still in Skid Row. We did some stuff together. So I know him really well. And I think people, Baz is awesome. I think people just, people don't, how can I explain it? The people, they don't totally understand him, I think, the people who criticize him. You know, he really is his heart on his sleeve. And if he feels something, he says it. And I think people should appreciate the fact that he's not a bullshitter. You know, like so many people won't tell you what they think, or they won't be natural to their feelings. And he really is. He feels something and he acts on it right away. Of course, yeah, that can get you in trouble in life on occasion, you know, but at least it's honest. And he's an amazing performer. He is absolutely one of the best front men out there. Like he gets out there and he just makes, like we did so many shows with GNR, and like he gets out there and he thinks the crowd is, he's the headliner. You know what I mean? Yeah. He really takes control of the whole arena. And it's been a long time I've been playing with him, and it's been really great.
Now, does he make you guys sit on the bus and watch him on Trailer Park Boys?
No, he does not.
Have you seen him?
I haven't, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, Trailer Park Boys is awesome.
I've seen a couple episodes, but I didn't see any that he was in yet.
Oh,
I know,
yeah.
He's been in a bunch of them.
Oh, there's some classic scenes. There's a couple on YouTube that are definitely worth watching when he's talking at the train convention or something.
Yeah,
But, you know, it's funny because, like, Sebastian always seems, to me anyways, to always just be having a good time. You know, he's always seemed to be laughing. He always seems to be, you know, just he wants everyone to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a true performer, you know. Like people, different styles have different messages, and the message of Sebastian's music and Skid Row's music is have a great time, you know, and enjoy yourself, forget about the problems of life, you know, and that's the message of that music, and he does it really well. He really translates that message very well. So that shows how great a performer he is and how great of a front man he is.
Now, what are you going to do in the fall when you're out touring with him? Are you guys going to is Spread going to tour, or how's this going to work with your schedule?
I'm going to have to. Yeah, I have a bunch of stuff booked with UFO and Sebastian, so I obviously will work Spread Eagle around that. And that's what we're talking to Dan DeVito about right now. So we're figuring it out.
Hey, maybe you can have Spread Eagle open up for Sebastian and UFO, and you can just play all night.
that would be convenient. I'd already be there.
That's right, exactly. Don't have to change your stage clothes or nothing. So,
yeah.
Well, listen, man, it's been awesome catching up with you here, Rob. Subway to the Stars. I'm glad that we got to talk here, because I know you were out of town. You're over in Europe and whatnot touring. But the record drops on August 9th, and I've only had a chance to check it out twice. It's kick-ass. And, yeah, it's of course, there's a couple singles that are already out there. And one of them is Sound of Speed, which came out, about a month ago or so. And then Grand Scam this week, which is a little bit on the heavier side as well. So we'll push people that way in August 9th when the record drops. I can't wait to put it on the turntable.
Thank you so much, Meltdown. I appreciate it. I want your listeners to check out the song More Wolf Than Lamb.
That's your pick off the record, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll push them
that
way then.
Thank you so much.
Rob, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man.
Okay, you have a good day, Meltdown.
Tell you what, looking forward to August 9th, big time. Subway to the Stars is when the new Spread Eagle record drops. Grand Scam is out right now. The Speed of Sound, Sound of Speed. I always get that confused. But anyways, there's some really killer tracks on this stuff. And like they were saying, Zeev, he's got some pretty good chops. There's no question about it. So August 9th, like I said, for the brand new Spread Eagle. Hope you guys dug this interview. If you did, go back and check out some of the previous ones. We talked to Slash and Duff from Guns N' Roses this year. John 5. Let's see. Gavin Rosdale. I had Peanut from 311 on last week. I mean, just a lot of different interviews, different kind of musicians, and all things rock. So I do appreciate you guys checking this out. Hopefully you check back. You can subscribe. Leave this a 5-star rating if you think it's worth it. And you can leave feedback on the feedback line as well at 248-586-2988. I'm actually on vacation, so I'll talk to you guys next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.